Y'all have y'all printouts, huh? Okay, all right. All right, praise God. Okay. We still in chapter 3. It's talking about the horrors of sin. You know, and I was thinking about it, and I thought about how, you know, like if somebody, if a person, you know, if you get operated on something like that, you want to know from the doctor, you know, you don't want to just know, you know, that this is going to do me some good, but you want to know, you know, what's going to be the setbacks and that sort of thing, right? So, you know, the same way, you know, when it comes down to, you know, the things of God, you know, I want to know about the blessing of God, but I want to know about the thing that could set me back. You with me?
Yes, sir.
So that's one of the reasons why I think that it's so important for us to really understand sin. The Bible talks about in Romans 7. Let me look at that. Let me look there. See. In Romans 7, 7th chapter of Romans. Romans 7 and let's see. In verse 20 of Romans, the 7th chapter, it says, "Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Then it says, "If I find then a law," you know, he said that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Then he said, "I delight in the law of God." So now he's talking about laws there, you know, or principles. But he's talking about "I delight in the law of God." And so I like to say it like this. I need to know the law of God is really how God operates. You with me? So I need to know how God operates so that I can cooperate with God, so that I can receive the blessing of God on my life. Then he says in verse, then he says in verse 23, he said, "But I see another law in my members, law warring against the law of my mind." And so the law of my mind has to be the way that the mind operates. So I need to know how the mind, my mind operates so that I can function in concert with the will of God as it relates to my mind, so that I can get the results that God said I'm supposed to get. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
But then he says there, he says, he talks about "and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin." So sin, there's a certain way that sin operates. So I need to know, or we need to know, how sin operates so that we can avoid it. Are y'all with me here? So when he's talking about the horrors of sin, we need to know, you know, it's one thing to know that God is good, and the apostle was talking about it earlier, you know, what people want now, they just want a good message about grace, a good message about mercy, and all of that's a part of it. But the thing about it is, we've got to realize that this beast, this sin beast, we got to deal with it. We got to deal with it, and there's no getting around this. So I need to really know. I need to know how it operates. So we talked about the nature of sin. It's three-dimensional. So we said, number one, we said that it was deceptive. We said that it offers temporal pleasure, and that it was destructive. Right? Okay, it's deceptive. Many times, without even realizing it, sin is subtle. You know, I heard people say things like this, you know, "I fell into sin." You don't just fall into sin. You know, you don't just don't walk off the street and fall into sin. You don't walk off the street and wind up in somebody's house or somebody's bed. Come on, talk to me now. You don't just fall into sin. Sin is a calculated choice. Because if a person is, let's just say if a person is a person is married, they've got to make sure that their spouse is not at home. They got to set up a place where they can go and meet. Are y'all with me? So that's not falling, that's planned. You with me? So many times people make excuses. They say, well, you know, I just felt, no, it was calculated, it was planned. It was planned out. You had to make sure that you didn't get caught and all that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? So I believe in the body of Christ, I believe that we're in an hour where God is really about to release his power in a greater dimension. But God is preparing some vessels that's going to really, really honor God in the way that they live. They're going to honor God in the way in the way that they operate, you know, as it relates to people and that sort of thing. I believe that we're in an hour. So God is preparing us to really get ready for what he's about to do. So it's not going to happen if we don't understand the importance of holiness. I think it's in Isaiah. I was reading. Isaiah talks about a road, a highway called holiness. Ooh, wait a minute. I just said that, but I need to see where I saw that at. That's in Isaiah. Let me see. Highway. A highway called holiness. Isaiah. Let me see. Isaiah. I don't have time to look for it. But let's. So it talks about it. Talk. We talked about this that it is deceptive, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So. We said that in Hebrews 3 and 13, it said, but exalt one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So sin is deceitful. It's subtle. And so if you're not careful, I just like, let me throw this here out at you. If you are, you can be going through something. All right. And you are, let's just say, if you are, you're relaying something to somebody, you know, you're going through something, you need somebody to hear you. You got to, you know, if I just need somebody that I can just release all this anxiety, all this, you know, frustration that I got, just somebody just listen. I don't need nobody to talk, just listen. If somebody's listening to you and that sort of thing and stuff, if you're not careful, that person that's listening to you, Satan will slip in there and he'll start slipping affection in there. And before you know it, you'll begin to start sharing intimate things with them. See, it's not something, all right, the devil does not walk around in a red suit with a pitchfork, with a pointed tail, with horns. No. See, if he came to you like that, then, you know, it would be easy for you to recognize him. But he's not going to come to you like that. He's going to come to you. He's going to come to you, somebody dressed up, somebody who you really like. You understand what I'm saying? So it's subtle the way he operates. But we have to be aware. So then the nature of sin, it also offers temporal pleasure. So we saw where the Bible said that in Hebrews, talking about Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we said that sin is pleasurable, because if it wasn't pleasurable, then people would not be doing it by the droves. So And then we have to come to a place where we realize that all Satan is trying to do is trying to destroy our destiny. He knows that God has a plan for our life. He knows that God want to use us mightily. He already knows this. But if he can deceive us, if he can offer us temporary pleasure, and we go for that, it will abort our destiny. And it's not going to happen to us, right? It's not, no, you got to make up your mind that it's not going to happen. One of the things that, the apostle is pouring out his life into people. And so that people can experience God at a higher dimension in their life, but we're going to have to live clean. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I understand grace. I understand that grace, but grace is not a cover up. Grace is not something that we use for covering things up. No. Grace is the thing that empowers me to live the kind of life that God wants me to live. I can't do it in my own flesh. Are you with me? We can't do this in our own flesh. So the grace of God is what we need to be able to help us to live this kind of life, right? All right. So sin is pleasure, but so we have to be careful because, amen, that the nature of sin, it has all these things in it. Then it's destructive. Proverbs 11:3 talks about the integrity of the upright shall guide them. I'm trying to think of what this guy's name was, but he was when Abraham and Sarah had went, I don't know if it was Amalek, Abimelech, but they had went to, they had went there, and the man liked Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, but Abraham told the man that was his sister. Sarah was his half-sister, so he told her half-lie, but he said she wasn't his wife. But because that man had integrity, his integrity, God, that man had a dream during the night. God told him, said that's that man's wife, and if you don't get rid, if you touch her, you're going to die. So if that man hadn't had integrity, if he wouldn't have wanted to do the right thing, or he hadn't been doing the right thing toward God, his integrity would not have guided him into doing the right thing. But when you don't have integrity and you have this perverseness, are y'all with me here? How many of you know it's going to lead you to destruction? And listen to me, there ain't no sense in, you cannot be playing games with Satan. You can't play no games, you understand? Listen to me. We said this here, anything that's not right is wrong, right? And so you can't twist it and make it right. And you can't be hiding behind, you understand? You can't be hiding behind wrong motives, because you gonna, before it's over, the devil going to use that wrong motive to destroy you. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we've got to be honest, first of all, with ourselves. Listen to me. I've got to make sure that I'm not lying to me. I got to make sure. See, you can lie to other folk, but guess what? It's still going to be damaging to you if you don't come to a place where you learn to be honest with yourself. Got to be honest with me. I got to be honest with myself. I got to talk to myself. My motive is wrong. I can't do that. I got to talk to myself. I can't lie to myself. Can't lie to myself saying, well, I'm just going to go over there, go over and just check on them and see, how everybody's doing. I had it's been a lot of years ago, but they had a lady, I just started pastoring. This lady came to the church, joined the church, all right? And so she said she was having some problems and that kind of thing and stuff. And so She said her son was giving a problem. She said, I just really need you to come over and talk to him. So I asked my wife to come go with me. My wife said, well, I just got some things I need to do, and I can't go with you. I said, well, I'm not going to go over there to the lady's house by myself. So I got a brother to go with me. So when I get to the door and knock on the door and stuff, and she see the brother with me, and she said, because she thought I was coming by myself. And she was like, I said, is it all right for us to come in? Yes, you can, but she was like, but I was looking for you by yourself. So I got in the house and me and the guy, and come to find out the woman's child wasn't doing her, wasn't giving her no problems. See, but I could have said, well, my wife don't want to go with me. I'm going to go over here. You know, I'm concerned about this lady and stuff. So I just go over here and see about it. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, 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 no. I'm somebody going with me. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody going with me. I'm not going by myself. And because, listen to me, glory to God. I say this all the time, you know, because counseling, I always counsel. If I'm counseling a woman, my wife going to be in there with me. Ain't no such thing as I'm gonna go in here, you know, I'm strong enough to go. No, 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 no. I'm not going to give the devil that kind of advantage. So what I'm saying to you, I'm saying this here. I'm saying that as people of God, we have to put barriers around us to make sure, amen, that we have things in place so that the enemy can't steal us. And we can't be hiding behind. I'm trying to help somebody to go and leave ourselves uncovered, going to do God's work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the church, man, this year, folk don't want to talk about this in the church. Man, I mean, preachers make you feel like, you know, well, I don't think you got to go through all of that. I don't think, you know, you just have to grow up. What? No, no, no. I need to make sure that I'm covered. You understand what I'm saying? I need to make sure. I know I got the grace of God. I know I got all that. But I got grace and I got a natural hedge of protection. Hallelujah. And you got to have the same thing. If not, amen, sin, the enemy is trying to steal your destiny. He's trying to abort what God, amen, has designed for your life. That's what he's out to do. So we say that sin don't even require a definition. Whatever's not right is wrong. If it's not righteousness, it's sin. So we looked at some of the horrors of sin, the devastating consequences of sin. Number one, the first thing we said was shame. Secondly, destruction. Third, sickness and disease and affliction. And then fourthly, the absence of peace. Shame. The first thing is shame. You know, I think about how high Tiger Woods was up in this game. You know, one of the best golfers, you know, that ever swung a club. But when Tiger messed around and his wife found out that Tiger was sleeping with this woman, that Tiger, the shame that came on him. See, at one time, folk honored Tiger. One time, matter of fact, when Tiger played against guys, those guys had so much respect for Tiger, they wasn't on their game because they was playing Tiger in fear and trembling because they honored him so much. You with me? But when that happened to him, all of a sudden, that honor that he had, they didn't have that for him no more. They feel like we can get him. We can whip him. We can whip him now. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's not a Superman like we thought he was. Sin will bring shame. We said that, I think it's in Psalms. It is in Psalms 8:5. Talks about what is man that thou mindful of him? And then the Bible says you crowned him with glory and honor. Glory and honor. God put glory and honor upon us. You've got God clothed us with glory and honor. Are you with me? But how many know shame will strip you of your glory and your honor? Sin will cause you to become so shamed to it will cause you to be stripped naked. Naked. Are you with me? So, all right. Now, I started off by saying that, you know, I want to find out, don't just tell me the good things about what God want to do. Tell me about the consequences of my wrong behavior. You with me? As a child of God, it's got to be down in our consciousness that God hates sin. It's got to be down in our consciousness. It's got to be in our thinking. God hates sin because if not, then I'm not going to be careful when it comes down to the way that I move, the way that Because the enemy can have you doing things in the name of the Lord, and he'll trap you right into sin. And his whole purpose is to bring you down to shame, to bring you to nothing. That's his whole purpose, to bring you to nothing. You know people in the body of Christ who God was using mightily. All of a sudden, you know, some kind of scandal broke out, and all of a sudden, shame, the honor left, the glory, everything left off of them. Praise God. And that's what the enemy is out to do. So watch this. The more people that you have influence over, the more damage you can do. Ooh. The more responsibility you have, the more people that you influence. The more responsibility. The more you're responsible for living upright, because if, now folks can say whatever they want to say, you know, and say, well, you know, if a person, you know, backslide because a man fall, you know, that's because they were serving that man, they weren't serving God. Many times, man, listen to me. When a man has ministered to you and a man has helped you in so many ways and stuff, you know, to walk the Christian walk out, and when that person, something happens, that person, the first thing a person thinks about is, if he couldn't stand under the pressure of sin, how can I do it? You can't. But see, the thing about it is, it's the grace of God that's gonna give you the ability to. So I don't go and make an excuse and then pull out the grace to say, hey, you know, I'm still all right. No. Most times when men, even in the Bible, when men fail, they did not go get back to the place that they were before they fell. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's real important that we understand this. So we said that sin is a barrier to honor in anybody's life. No matter who we are, sin will never allow you to see honor. Wherever sin reigns, shame reigns. And men have no future. Devil, suck your future from you. Remember what happened when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because of his sin, Adam was stripped naked. And God called out to him. God said, Adam, where are thou? Adam said, well, you know, I hid myself because I was afraid. I was naked. God said, how you know you were naked? Because I messed around and let the enemy hookwink me. Sin a strip any man naked of all honor and glory. Adam became a laborer where he was once a king. Hallelujah. So there is no honor or glory awaiting the crook. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
There is no honor or glory awaiting the crook. Now, I've had preachers who tried to, you know, they tried to get me in their circles. But one thing that, you know, I came up on the street. And so, you know, coming up on the street, you're real cautious about who you deal with. So, you know, while they were trying, and then when you come out on the street, you know game. What do you mean? You know when somebody playing games. You know, so they tried to, you know, look, man, I want to, you know, get you to come over, and we're going to sit down, and we're gonna eat breakfast, and I want to share with you some of the things that, you know, we're doing as the brethren. No, I'm not. I don't want to sit down with y'all. Now, the first thing folks say, well, where your love at? You supposed to be walking in love. What love got to do with it? You understand what I'm saying? I don't have, especially... The Bible even tell us to know them that labor among us. If it's somebody, I at least need to know, you know, what kind of character they have. You know? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. I had a man who, we were associates. And he decided to do some, you know, some ungodly things. So one of the members of his church told a member of my church, said that you know, my pastor is involved in this here and that. Say, you know, my pastor, he doing some things he don't have no business. Say, your pastor, they associate. So your pastor, so my member came, told me. And so, you know what I did? I went to the man's house. I went, knocked on his door. I say, wait a minute. This is what being said. All I want to know is just tell me the truth. He said, yes, it's true. It's true. He was honest with me. It's true. I said, well, wait a minute. Why couldn't you have came to me? Gave me a chance to give me the opportunity to decide whether or not I want to associate with you no more. I mean, if you tell me, say, look, this is what I'm doing, then guess what? If I can't restore you, then I guess I'm not going to mess with you. But you could at least gave me the opportunity. So he said, well, you know, I just kind of stayed my distance a little bit because, you know, I didn't want you to. I said, yeah, but people know that we associate. So I don't want to be associating with you if this is what you're doing. And so I talked to him and I tried to help him. He said, well, just pray for me. I said, brother, it's going to take more than prayer here. I said, now just tell me now, if you don't want to, now he had a spiritual father. I said, you need to go, first of all, go talk to your spiritual father. You need to go talk to him. Tell him what you've done and so you can get some counsel. He said, well, you know, I'm up for a promotion. And if I tell him, I may miss the promotion. I say, what do you want to do? You want the promotion from man more than you want to be promoted by God? So he said, well, I said, okay, you made your decision. We can't associate no more. Okay, now, I know about the culture of honor. You understand what I'm saying? I know, but when a person have open sin and then there's no godly sorrow, it's time to separate. I tried everything I could, you know, to try to get him reconciled and get him back. In, but no, I mean, when a person, especially when a person feel like they're up here and they feel like you're not as high up as they are, ain't nothing you can tell them. Ain't nothing you can do to help. You know, so I prayed about it, talked to the Lord about it, and still pray for him today. But there's times when you got to know when you got to, you know, oh, Ken and Roger said, oh, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Yeah, you got to know. You got to know when it's time. And see, you can get all religious if you want to. You get all religious. You can get religious if you want to, but you're afraid to get contaminated. If you don't walk away from that mess when folk are trying to enter, oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all, this is my time. I didn't get where I wanted to go, but praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, because I was trying. We're going to get that because I want you to read. I want you to make sure you read that next chapter, that fourth chapter. Oh, that's right. Y'all don't have the fourth. Y'all got the fourth? Okay. All right. Okay, good. Good. Y'all read into that fourth chapter, the agents of sin. All right. Y'all read on into that. Man, we're gonna deal with this. Praise God. Yeah. The quiz is next week. Praise the Lord. No. We going to chapter three, yeah, right. Chapter three. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. That's it.